Shelley's Advisory Committee, June 13th, 2016.
Meeting at 4:00.
Okay, well then we'll...
Hi, everybody.
Then, when Nancy walks in, we're starting the meeting. Perfect. Look at that, Nancy.
She has 16 seconds to sit down.
Efficiency expert.
All right, look at this. We're gonna call the meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. And welcome to a short meeting. We should be able to knock this out reasonably quickly. And we are full pledge committee here. Everybody's here?
Wow.
So looking at the agenda, we will talk as a follow-up, item four, follow-up to the comments from the Planning Commission. I sent those out earlier this morning. Not a big deal. They weren't overly complicated, but at least I would put them on a piece of paper. Those of you who read your email will have it. If not, it's not that big a deal. And then we're going to talk about what we want to do for the rest of the year. That's simple. Did you bring anything for us?
I can show it on the screen.
Okay. You want to do that as part of that?
What upcoming committee work?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So, anybody want to, we ought to talk about, we'll do that right away here, which is a committee membership. Okay? Because, Rod and I just finished interviews of applicants for the UAC. Give you a quick update on that. So, does anybody else want to do anything else with the agenda? Short meeting? We can do longer if you want.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, cool. So let's just, talking about committee members, just so you know, we have three openings as we talked about. Jeff and Ted and Steve's positions are up. The city puts this out for publication. They got 7 applicants for the 3 positions.
So are they filling mine? Because I'm just slow in getting my renewal in.
Well, and now Steve tells me today he wants to reapply. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I did reapply.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing you're seeing, Andy, is we're all candidates. We, notwithstanding the fact that we may have been on here, other people are applying, may be chosen for.
But here's what I know, and Rogers, Councilman Rogers related. Starting several years ago, the city took a position on all the committees that they would have an application period at the end of everybody's term. Mm-hmm. You'd have to say, yes, I want to be here. You don't get automatically reappointed without there at least being an advertisement out. So that's what has happened. And so they applied and they advertised and they got applicants. And as I understand, Val's in charge because he's the mayor and Roger's a liaison and I go along as the committee chair. So it's a 3-member committee that makes a recommendation of council. The council then makes the appointment. The decision was made by really Val and Roger that since they know you two guys, there's no reason to have you come in for an interview.
Oh, okay.
But since they didn't know the other people that applied, we will. So we just interviewed those people starting at 3:00, just so you know. And now it's up to Val and Roger and me to make a recommendation to council. So that's where it is. That's what it's at. So assuming you're in, Steve, then we'll go forth.
Is that 7 on top of these ballots, or just 4 more?
Well, it was 7, now Steve is 8, so 8 for the 3 positions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can tell you one of the criteria, I will tell you, is longevity in the committee. We need to have some longevity in the committee.
Especially this committee.
Unless
you really screwed up.
Institutional.
Exactly. The whole idea of this committee is to have people that really understand the utilities.
I did did fail to do my homework once.
Yes, well, we all do that. So, that's where we are at the moment. So, that Val will pass a recommendation to the council, and the council then reappoint.
Sorry.
Anything else?
No. That's generally true. We do the, yeah, that's all.
Okay. All right, so you sent your application, and you did too, Ted?
I was that close, and then I killed my computer.
Okay. Well, send an email to Roz and say you're in, use the old form, and that covers it.
Oh, okay.
They're not trying to make this difficult.
Yes.
Okay. Shall we move on? All right. Acceptance of meeting notes of May 16th. Circulated to everyone. And this is the one that...
Andy, as in the current information, that this was good information as of the time you did these notes, but it's Steve Johnson
will not apply
for another term is probably...
We can take it out.
Probably take that out of there, because I did apply.
Yeah, it's accurate then. It's also something that we really don't need to have in the minutes, do we? Jeff drafted these. Thank you, Jeff, very much, by the way. He did the volunteer. I'll do this, be the secretary, because Roger wasn't here.
Double meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the only other thing I say is he's talking about Mr. Shishil suggesting discretionary programs need period review for usefulness and value.
Where are
number
we?
Number two, the last line. I think there was also a comment that all of they were required to have periodic review for.
So how do you want to change that besides making a periodic review?
It should probably.
Anything else?
That it was pointed out that the suggested plan already does that to some extent.
I don't think he was saying that.
No?
I think he was making the point that it needs periodic review. Not that it already has it.
No, but the plan that we submitted, the utility elements memorandum, did have periodic review required. And I think, at least in my sections, I thought all of them. Yeah.
So how do you want to change the sentence, Kay?
Well, I think that's what you said. Just periodic review. We could ask him.
Well, we're spending more time talking about public comment.
With adding an IC.
Make periodic.
Yeah.
Is that good enough? All right, anything else? Okay, can I have a motion to approve this with these two changes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of notes of March 16th as amended. All those say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes, 13. And I noticed Tom was there, and now we're going to be talking a minute, and Tom's not here today.
First time.
And because we're going to talk in a minute about PSE stuff. Okay, public comment.
Robert, at the 7 June City Council meeting, one of the major topics was the 2017-2018 draft CIP. I sent a note to council that in some cities, usually the UAC or whoever's in charge of utilities gets to look at these and comment on them before they go to the city council. For example, at Mercer Island, the UAC has to have their CIP reviewed for the budget process by the 31st of March. You guys haven't seen this. You've seen a lot of it during the discussions of the water plan and the sewer plan, but there's a lot of money in the CFP, and it stymie, and there's some big dog about here. The city council, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Roger, but is going to have their final stamp on the CIP on the 26th of July. I think so. You got two more meetings, and I was rather surprised not to see it on today's agenda because there's probably a lot of discussion on this here. And it's not only in the three utilities, but there's also feedings from the cost allocation systems on the transportation and the non-transportation projects that have funding from utility funds. So that's it.
And by the way, I've talked to Barry about giving a briefing to us about that, and he's prepared to do that tonight. So, we're not sure, honestly, just so everybody's aware of this. The question is, what's the role of UAC with, I'll call it ongoing stuff, like the annual CIP and the budget? It's not really clear whether the council wants us to look at that ahead of time or not. When we're talking about upcoming committee work, we have to talk about that, whether we want to or not. But Barry and I have already talked about having a bit of a briefing about what the council got. So we'll do that later. Anything else? Thank you, Robert. Okay, let's talk about the follow-up to the utilities element of the comp plan. The memo that we did and the utilities element that we drafted went to the Planning Commission. Well, Jim was there, Emily was there, Jeff was there, and I was there, although you guys left, everybody left early. Anyway.
Didn't seem early.
Amen.
Good point.
Maybe they waited for you to leave.
Let's discuss it. Before it was fully over, let's put it that way. So,
it's never over until it's over.
Right. So, for the three of you who weren't there, Barry gave a briefing, the kind of the consultants gave a briefing.
On,
we're talking about the. I'm sorry. Shifted
gears.
I'm sure. The comp. The
utility
element.
Utility
element.
Yeah, that's true.
And they asked, council members asked lots of questions, or some questions to us.
So the consultants didn't talk about the utility element.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
What consultants?
I missed
the word. We were the consultants.
Yes. The commissioners, the planning commissioners, asked a variety of questions. It was a weird meeting in the sense that it wasn't clear whether it was a public comment or they were going to talk about it or not talk about it, the commissioners. And they finally said that they were taking public comment on anything having to do with the utilities element. But they, the commissioners, could only ask us questions, but they couldn't talk amongst themselves about it until a meeting next month.
Yeah, so that's why they're setting up these elements, because I think at the beginning of the comp plan process, they were getting lots of public comment about lots of things. So the first meeting was just for public comment, and then there'd be a next meeting to deliberate. But when the public shows up and there's no public comment, it's like, well, what do we do now? I guess we can talk about it amongst ourselves or something. But yeah, it was anticipating a lot of public comment to continue, and I think either the steam has run out of the public or they just started talking about the comp plan. But the last two elements, the water resources and utilities, very few people showed up to comment.
Yeah, it was in that sense, I thought it was weird. But I gave a briefing for the three of you. I gave a briefing summary of 5 minutes of what we've done. Based on that, I thought they might ask questions that these guys chimed in. And one of them asked questions about the electoral stuff. Somebody asked something about solid waste, and you weren't there.
Yeah, compost.
Exactly. So I wrote down the five things they asked about. And and let's just take them up here.
They're in the email you sent us.
Did you give us, have you got a copy of that, Andy? I think I saw it.
Can you put that up?
Can you put it up?
I have a copy of it.
I did.
Sure. I've never logged into email on this thing.
Well, here, I'll just tell you what they are. I'm sorry I waited so long to do it. They are, should we add something about preserving water resources? Should we add something about stormwater being a resource? Water resource. We'll talk about these in a minute, but we'll be talking about it. Should, do they want, did we say enough about encouraging solar energy, electric energy? We got into this whole 115 kV thing kerfuffle again, back and forth, and Tom was there, was ready to jump up and explain. So we need to, they all got confused, and I finally said, well, look, we'll deal with it, okay? And they said, good, you guys go off and solve it. And the last one was composting. So let's take these up quickly. We don't need to go on there. We may want to make a language change to our utilities element, a minor one, and they take it back up at the end of July. So the first one is about the potable water section. And I don't know if you thought about this further. I explained that we've shifted, you know, we split the water resources element and we got all that over to somebody, I forget who, talked about are we doing enough to monitor our water resources? Or even though we don't have water resources here, we can't forget that when we're talking about our water utilities, that we talk well enough about the resource for our water utilities. That's about it.
Well, for both items 1 and 2, that and the stormwater, I went and looked at the draft comp plan that we have. Cammy's covered it from one end to the other. I mean,
under the water resources
element. Under the so I'm not sure what more we could possibly say. She hasn't already covered it in that whole section. I think it was on and on.
Yeah, and so the question.
So the answer is yes, but it's already been said.
And I think you're right. Their question was, shouldn't there be something here?
Yeah.
In
sea water resources.
Sea water resources. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think we have anything more to say. I mean, she's said plenty.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, and if we were to say anything, we first all should go back and read what she said just to figure out what it is that we would add.
I mean, I didn't read everything she... Well, sorry, anything that she wrote on it. But you know, is she concerned maybe that we're not saying that as a utility we shouldn't waste the water?
I think it's more like that.
Are they just looking for some kind of...
Hey, you know, I don't know. It's just a question.
Language.
I mean,
that's,
the commissioner
that's not flush the mains every 2 weeks because... It, feels good. We got a lot of water.
Public comment?
Well, this was Mac Puro, and he had trouble with as well. He lives up on Henderson, which is probably the only place on the island that they have had any well problems. And Tolui had to drain a well pretty deep, and he lives right by Tolui's house. And he wants, the commissioners have talked about putting a monitoring system on every private well on the island. There's all kinds of things going on, and he's kind of leading that charge, along with there's two commissioners that are saying that we're not doing anywhere. The groundwater monitoring program isn't adequate, is what they're saying. So we do some 75 wells on the island, but there's, I'm not going to get into that. But Mac Pearl is the guy that's doing it, and I think he's.
Mac's the chair of the committee right here. The commissioner.
They're up at Seabold and Henderson, right in that corner. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's. Do we need to recognize a responsibility of our water utilities to preserve, conserve their resources?
So, goal number 2 of potable water is: we shall operate in a manner that preserves and protects the resources of the water resources of the island.
Do we want to just put in bridging language? See the water resources element?
No, I think the answer is probably what.
Instead, it's already in there.
All right.
Well, I just felt like the Planning Commission wanted some kind of bridging language. It kind of felt to me.
Well, you know what? I think you may be right, and I think our answer, Ted, goal 2. If you want if you planning commissioner want bridging language, put it in there.
And same thing on stormwater, we said the same thing, protect the quality of the groundwater, Puget Sound to provide recharge of groundwater where appropriate.
Which one are you looking at?
That's on, unless we change it, it's the new goal of stormwater, storm and surface water.
Right, it's just the regular goal.
And
right.
The first one was the goal two.
It was also the goal, yeah.
Yeah, the first one was goal two.
New goal two, yeah.
So all right, well, I hear, unless anybody wants to do something different, I'm just going to get back to them and say, we already, we've addressed it well enough.
Well, we've said it.
We've said it. If you guys want to address
new
it,
goal two
because
and
you're
new
looking,
goal.
Because they're looking at the whole comp plan, the land use and other things, water use, if they think they want to make some reference to it.
So we should just say, we feel we've covered it in goal X,
right.
Goal yeah. Y.
C, goal, new goal
if you
two,
want bridging
water
resources.
Okay. Gotcha. Done. All right. Item three. Should we do more to discuss, encourage solar, photovoltaic, or whatever? I'm just writing what their words were. What do you think, Jim?
We've got it in policy 1.5.
Yeah. Policy
1.5? Yeah. E1.5.
Right.
Carbon neutral electric generation, local electric. Generation innovative technologies such as
solar power.
The one thing that maybe they're looking at, it says the city should encourage the electric service provider to do all these things. Maybe what they're really talking about is encouraging broader use.
I think you're right. I think that was the point. Should homeowners be encouraged to?
So maybe we're too narrow here.
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Typical, you know, guy who hasn't been around
shows
comes
up
and has lots to say, but and late, too late to maybe. I think because I'm involved with this, I think some things policy-wise that the city could do to help, and I'm kind of glad you guys caught that because you know I should have caught it earlier, but there's certain things like. Building permits, you know, you have to get a building permit to put a solar system on, and you know, are there things in the permitting process? Of course, you got what about everybody else who want a building permit to put a little dormitory or something on? And but that process, the building, the planning department was applying for instance, a fire code standard that had not yet been adopted as part of the state. Fire code in it was a hang up on some projects, and then finally the fire chief wrote him a note and said it's not in effect yet. You know, but it was setback, so if you got all these setbacks all the way around the edge, there wouldn't be any room for a solar thing. So I think maybe I'll lay out a couple things and then you guys may find a path with them or whatever. The other one, and I weighed in on a bit this when we were working on the tree ordinance, often in this, you know, forested island, you'll have a project. Some just isn't going to work if they're in the woods. But some, a tree or two or three, and the project's viable. You know, you can calculate the shading with a device that tells you. But if the economics aren't going to work if it's 50% shaded, and so I, you know, I kind of ran out of steam. But I provided evidence from government sources. Of the carbon trade-offs of a solar system versus trees. And I think some of the planning committee members scoffed a little at this because the numbers were so high. So a 5 kW solar system, which is kind of standard system, had a carbon uptake equivalent of 100 trees. I don't know how big those trees were, but the case was, could you have some path for permission to cut a tree, you know, maybe not 100 trees.
I just did that. I just cut my biggest intruding tree into my array.
Yeah, but did you get a permit?
You get six what? Trees. Well, here.
So anyway, the
tree.
Get
the
trees a year, right?
Yeah. Don't need no second permit.
So maybe somebody will find a path where at this late point, we could put some kind of notes in that would provide a little bit of leverage to relook at those. Finally, community solar, that, you know, what could we do to further encourage community solar? I think this is already kind of provided for, but under the current incentive scheme, community solar has to be located on a government building. So our buildings, are they new ones that might be built, such as a police station? Could you at least ensure that it was capable at some later point of taking a solar system or a community
solar? It's in there.
I thought maybe.
But there isn't anything about encouraging homeowners to do it.
No, there isn't.
Right? That's the issue.
Well, I think that kind of gets back to the permitting.
Well, maybe maybe the point is to just have something general language says essentially establish. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I was looking at the language we already have. Mm-hmm. Under 1.5, we could simply add the city should encourage the electric service provider and the citizens to use carbon neutral, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, we're in the carbon neutral electricity generation heads toward wind power and all the rest of it.
Maybe instead of citizens, we can make it
customers. In the community,
your homeowners, businesses,
customers,
list more.
Right, because I'm also thinking of your school district and your parks districts too. To
Jim, the effect of that would be that in comparison to what we have now, we'd encourage them, or could that language mean that city policy would be friendly to solar?
Yeah, would
in
be
ways
easy.
That we haven't already, or you know, I'm not sure we're going to end up doing something.
I'm thinking you're thinking, should we ease the permitting process to encourage this?
Well, I'm a little reluctant to be that specific. I'd rather say something generally.
And then let them decide how to encourage it.
Figure out how
to
do that, because that's going to change a lot.
So something general and let the city council or whoever is enforcing it decide how they are going to encourage.
How about something just as simple as the city should encourage electricity users and the electric service provider?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
That grabs everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's innocuous.
All right, so we're going to add the word electricity users and after the word encourage.
Yes.
And the electric service provider use carbon energy locally and an innovative technology such as solar as well. Okay. Have we solved that? Everybody?
Didn't know it was a problem.
Done!
I think it's a good fix.
All right. Then next is the 115 kV transmission line. Here's the issue. It was specifically referred to in the earlier comment. We took it out. Mm-hmm. And the question was, shouldn't we put it back in to emphasize the need for it? So we kind of went around on that.
Here's some viewpoints on that.
So let's be clear. Which section are we talking about?
It's not in it.
It's not in it.
No. We have the general now,
well,
which is E what?
The reliability part.
Okay.
So that's 1.3.
But wasn't that something that they had in the plan before that they didn't do, and that's old news?
Yes.
Can we put back in the state park sewer plan?
So
reliability is worse.
It's not worse. It's
not
just
worse.
Hasn't been
it wasn't something.
So E1.3 is the general. We will encourage the provider to improve reliability. The old comp plan says by building a 115 transmission line, et cetera, according to the city's reliability plan. And remember, Tom said we had the city didn't have a reliability plan.
No, it was Puget Sound Energy's reliability. And it wasn't really improving your reliability either.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Can we
a lot of questions.
Send a short blurb back saying that it, we feel that it's covered by X, and we took certain things out, like the state sewer plan and the K.
Didn't we tell them that?
Plan.
We had a sentence in our memo to begin with.
Yes.
That said.
Can we just reiterate?
And I wrote it. Prior policy 1-4 regarding the 115 kV transmission line was deleted. Mm-hmm. We chose to take that out of our memo. We did. I recommend it. Let me just add a little background here.
Please.
That's very recent. Both at the meeting, Tom stood up, Tom Probst of PSE, and gave an impassioned defense of the need for this. At the most recent town hall meeting of PSE, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know. What's his name, Wappler?
Wappler.
Chose to do the same thing. Another impassioned plea for this tie line between the substation.
With a stat that I remember, 82% of the island wants that line.
That's incredible.
And that was because NIMBYs got to the council and told them that, don't do this, that it got stopped over the will of the people.
That's not true.
So there's
it's multiple, a Wappler. What can I say? It's a Wappler.
Multiple layers of whether we should put any language in or not about it. The first thing is it technically a good idea? Does anybody disagree with that?
Does anybody disagree with addressing the question of whether it's technically a good idea, or does anybody disagree with the argument that it's technically a good idea? So, yeah, it's a good idea, but maybe we don't want to put in.
Well, let's get the technical.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, from a reliability standpoint, anytime you have redundancy, you're going to improve reliability. And that particular tie line between those two substations is a perfect example. So my recommendation, having run power companies and grown up in the power industry, is for darn sure put the thing in, technically, okay? Now, if you agree with that, then the question is, how do you get it done? And what apparently, and that's the reason I suggested taking it out of the memo to begin with, was to not ignite the controversy again. PSC has chosen to do that. So they're on this track to, I guess, generate advocacy. Is that a nice term to use for what they're trying to do here? So the question is,
I guess it feels like pork barrel.
Sorry?
It just feels like sneaking it into the comp plan so that it looks like it's got our endorsement.
Yes.
Now you're getting to the political side of it. Right.
Right.
And I'd like to say something about it too. My understanding is there was a big group on the island that fought this. And several of the people have moved that fought it. And that
are some of them council members now too?
Potentially. I'm not aware. But the part of the problem with it is that it would be paid for. The good thing about getting reliability through this means is that the people that get the energy, all of the citizens of Bainbridge Island, would be paying for it. Versus what, the kind of reliability that we really need is we need to bury the lines and we need to cut the trees back more. That's every single loss of electricity that we've had on this island is not because we don't have redundancy with this high, transmission line. It's every single one, and I've confirmed this with PSC a number of years ago, is because of tree damage.
True.
Okay.
The redundancy allows the trees to take out your main path, and you still get it.
But it doesn't do it for the areas that we need.
Well, certainly for Dave Road North, it doesn't help.
Yeah, there's a lot of places it doesn't help. But the point was that PSC felt, and pressed on this, that they could get it paid for by us versus them. Whereas the tree, they can't get that paid for. The trees
I have a few thoughts. The question is, I think if you go to PSE, then it gets get paid for by all the ratepayers.
Right.
So then there's some diffusion. But when I saw it the first time without getting into this, it just seems so much more specific than anything,
Well, and that was my suggestion about the blurb saying that we have we have withdrawn from suggesting specific courses of action to general policies. And so we have redacted all these specific projects in favor of...
It's easy to, I mean, I think you could say safely, I mean, my personal position would be you could safely say that reliability is an important value. You know, low, I mean, all these things are important values, and then you run into issues where they compete. And then you have to start making policies.
Yeah.
1.3 says right now, we wrote it, the city should encourage electric service providers to improve reliability. What
that's
more
the policy.
Do we need to say?
Right. I don't think we need to be specific.
But we couldn't.
And I think Tom Prost said we didn't either. He said, oh, that was just something we had that didn't go well all the law. But at the time.
Well, that was there.
But I think we can reiterate, look, we are not going, we have taken all of the specific references
right.
out
it's not
in
just
favor
for this.
Of something broad. Right.
Yeah.
And in multiple sections, which is why I brought up the state.
And originally it was just, as a matter of fact, I remember him saying that Puget Sound Energy wrote that. And it was just inserted. It wasn't created by anybody on City Council or by the UAC or anything. That was something Puget Sound handed in, typed in.
Right, so I think this thing is if I could, you know, I think it's probably needed, you know, or the thing, I think it's, and I think Jim was correct that, or some of the sentiment here, should we be stepping in on some aspects in such detail, you know, for instance, undergrounding Lytle Road, you know, I mean, this is a specific project, and I think a concern on the island has been, that is a reasonable one, is it a full range of options, because the company, you know, has its own solutions to these problems, and others that are not in an open forum. discussed in the community. So, you know, there was, at the time this was an issue, demand-side management and other solutions aired, and it's too bad we don't have a process which is not a sponsored event by them where they chair it, you know, and lobby for certain things, but rather, again, I'm thinking this is probably needed from what I know. I have much more limited knowledge than other folks, but I was in the utility industry, and so, so, but I think all that said and more that I could say, the it sounds like we're close to back where we were, just saying that it shouldn't be in the comp plan.
Let's hear from our public works. What do you think?
Why not? I mean, it was very specific last time. It didn't make any difference, so I don't know why. I think they're gonna, I mean, it was still could be opposed and not,
yes.
And the comp plan didn't overcome opposition because it was a comp plan policy. So maybe they're thinking, well, we couldn't do it without ammunition. If we back off the language, we'll never get it through the next time. I don't know. Maybe that's the thought. But like, you know, like you said, I don't think the policy really made any difference when the issue was considered. It sounds like the policy was easily discarded, and we said
I don't think it was easily. There was a huge opposition.
Okay, well, it was discarded.
It was discarded.
So, and all we get to work with those, what they give us is a proposal. So a proposal to cut down 100 feet of trees for 5 miles is a lot different than a proposal that puts in the road. And
so one
of those may have been palatable, but the one they gave us didn't fly.
Okay, so let's I think we can close the discussion. Do we want to add something which says, after improving reliability, to include constructing the 115 kV transmission line?
No.
Done. I'm going to leave it the way it is. We'll tell them where's keeping it general, Emily's point, and not getting the specifics. It's up to the utility provider working with the normal permitting process to implement.
Provide better reliability.
Exactly.
That's our goal.
Exactly. Thank you.
However okay. they come up with it.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're under the responsibility of exploring pros and cons.
All right, move on. Item 5 was the mention of solid waste section. The question was, should we say something about composting as part of solid waste? Now, because I guess some utilities obviously run their own composting operations.
Even the Navy.
Huh?
Even the Navy.
Now, by the way, I happen to have gone to the new, done Peterson's now Tills operation on Miller Road and bought their compost, which is very good, by the way. I got electric truckloads. And that was mentioned. Somebody on the panel said, the private sector is dealing with it. Maybe that's sufficient. So that, it's just simply a question. Do we add anything in our solid waste section about composting?
Is this the idea that compost, or is it, I mean, what's the core idea that we'd actually do here? Is that we pick up compost?
No,
that's just composting is good, and that we want to consider as an alternative.
We would encourage everyone to do nothing else.
Are we asking Bainbridge Disposal to
it? Want the utility to look at waste diversion, including compost is one way to do that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Our solid waste is handled by a private company.
Right.
So the question is, do we say something in which we are encouraging that private utility to establish some composting thing, or not? Or for that matter, of course, if you do that and they get into business, you put this private company out of business. So there's a...
Well, wouldn't it fit in their charter? And
maybe.
They're a franchise, right? Do we have to approve for them to have all our trash business on the island?
Well, they're regulated by the WTC.
We have an excess of compost, partially because we're not using it as properly and as diligently as others in our garden and all of that. So if it could benefit the island, I mean, is that kind of what it would do, that you somehow have a place you could take compost where now you have no place you can take it?
Well, right now you take it to a private company.
They could still do it. I mean, they could still take it to the private company. It's matter of the curbside. Are they going to collect the waste that would go in?
Yeah, it would be collected at some expense.
Yeah, we're going to. That's what the.
Well, Seattle collects what?
Food waste. They collect food waste and stuff at the curb. I don't know what would it.
Right now, Bainbridge Disposal picks up. You know, vegetation.
They do.
What do they do with it?
Yard waste.
They haul it in compost.
Probably take it to.
Probably give it to Tills.
No, they probably take it to one of the off-island composters.
It's used in an environmentally beneficial way.
But they pick up yard waste. They pick up yard waste containers.
And what do they do with it?
I don't know.
It becomes profit.
I don't think they have anywhere to process it on the island, so they must take it to like North Mason Fibers or somewhere.
Unless they take it to Tills.
Yeah. Well, they could be doing that too.
Well, that just opened.
What?
Tills just opened.
No, they bought Peterson's.
So, just thinking from the high level, not the detail of whether we want to tell them to collect or to divert anything in particular, I think encouraging the composting is a good thing, because I think those are island goals, to divert the waste streams, to have less of it just rotting for no good purpose, to reduce transportation costs. All of that, I think, is a good thing. I think that's why the DOD has decided to do that. They've set aside waste stream diversion goals, not because it makes any money in particular, in fact, they're kind of losing money on it, but it's just a good idea.
Are we asking Bainbridge Disposal to collect composting and create that at their facility?
I wouldn't suggest that here, no. I would just say encourage that. So that the reason I would say encourage it, when we get to looking at the franchise agreement for Bainbridge Disposal, we can say, this is something we can talk about in that discussion.
So SW 1.3, first sentence, says, in addition to WTC regulation, the city should perform periodic reviews to ensure that Bainbridge Disposal is providing safe, reliable, cost-effective, responsible solid waste collection and recycling. Do you want to add something about composting there? Or does that fall within solid waste collection and recycling?
I don't know if it's necessarily a function of them, just that what is done on the island by somebody. And if Peterson's were to
become
condos and, you know, disappear.
I think it's a better fit in the last one where we say, consideration should be given to methods to reduce the amount of solid waste disposal, conversion of solid waste to energy. Composting is a good thing to fit right in that.
Mm-hmm. Consideration should be given to methods.
Tricky because, you know, you do have this private firm doing it, and are we making them do it, and then we're getting involved in competition? Could we just say something very general about encouraging the island to do it?
Yeah, but doesn't it come under Ted's point, 1.4?
Yeah.
It's diversion, waste diversion, and how they divert it, they could still divert to Peterson if that was.
That's true. Well,
whatever. So your answer could be waste diversion is composting is waste diversion.
So maybe we have it covered with 1.4, which says every method you can to reduce the amount of solid waste disposal and using the composting in one of those ways. So we got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though we don't use the word compost.
Right, I think all those higher goals of, are in that reducing the disposal. They all fall under that broad category.
Do we want to add the word compost?
We do say energy, so.
Yeah, we say energy and or compost.
I guess the other form, the use of compost is also for agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Right, when they have there is on the city farm site, there is a composting operation of some sort that supports the
So we
could add
to solid waste to energy, or to be used in agriculture.
Well, I was going to suggest if you want to use the word compost, it's in here. After the word reduce the amount of solid waste disposal, comma, such as composting, or the conversion of solid waste to energy, then we're encouraging that on the island.
Yep. You got to write a memo now. Let's use the word.
All right. And by the way, I talked to those folks at the Tills thing, and they do have a great composting operation there.
Every time I drive by it twice a day, and when they turn the pile, you can tell.
Yeah, they're talking about it. And, you know, they're telling you the temperature.
That's always the biggest challenge.
They're telling you the temperature, you know, it's 100, we get it to 170 degrees, I was talking to the guy today.
Wonder if we can take our biosolids there. Because that's another waste stream that we haul off.
To Kingston, and they lost their license.
All right, so I think we're going to add, if it's okay with you guys, such as composting.
I ran out of emus.
Where's that going? At the end of 1.4?
No, after the word reduce the amount of solid waste disposal.
And you're saying such as, or i.e.?
Such as composting. I don't know if you want something else. Mm-hmm. There's other things besides composting.
And we're
composting.
Putting it in parentheses or something?
Whatever. You want parentheses instead of a comma?
That's I don't know. You just said comma.
I'll do parentheses. Mm-hmm. Okay, how's that? Are we done? We took 40 minutes on this.
Okay.
Any other things you want? So here's what we'll do. I will write a short memo to the planning commission saying, here's the changes we suggest. Is that okay with everyone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on.
I hope they don't misconstrue that our instructions were to line item make changes that we were recommending. We weren't really tasked with creating the whole sections. But I feel like that's what's become the interpretation.
So that if the fact that you touched it at all means somebody endorsed it all.
Well, it's like it's become our product instead. We become the authors of the whole product, where the request of us was to make line item changes. And we made enough of them when this whole document. Well, but now I think it's being reinterpreted as that is the section as it exists in don't mess. But that we never suggested that. This is just our input.
Well, I think we could say that in this note that we suggest this, but again, these are only suggestions and you may revise as needed.
Okay.
Right?
What is the
that's a good idea. We suggest in response to questions, we suggest this language.
Yeah. Revise as needed.
The fact of the matter is though it's become our our utility zone, because we spend so much time on it. Number two, nobody else is doing it, so they're just going to take what they get, and we say in there we used prior to modify it, and then we have new stuff.
But we kept a certain amount of blinders on as we went through the process, and didn't get as wide as the total scope might be.
So the Planning Commission takes our input, and we think they're taking that almost verbatim, because there doesn't seem to be counter-arguments. But could there be counter-arguments that wind up being utilities elements?
Well, that was what the public meeting was for. Does the public have anything to say about it?
Will we get a chance to see if maybe they propose or include something that's actually contradictory to our intent or even impossible?
Are we not at the stage of this report
from the meeting you all attended, where probably this is it. It's that a surprise that they, after our hard work, they came in and did something different. Probably not on the horizon, right? Aren't we close to this being finalized? That's we're tweaking it a little.
I don't know what.
I mean, at least the section we're interested in.
I don't know what the Planning Commission is going to do with this, but I, since we're all among friends, I guarantee you that if somebody publicizes that there's a policy which says that the city in the long term will take over the PUD, there are some people out there that would object to that.
Oh, but that's not in there, and we're not, nobody's advocating
yeah,
that anymore, longer is it?
Yeah.
I thought we saw from that one a lot.
You must have missed that meeting.
Thank you.
I thought we went for just consolidation and not...
Not takeover. Well, we didn't say who was going to wind up with it.
No. The language, the final language...
I'm misconstruing what you're talking about. Yeah.
This was the water one.
But there are several steps. I mean, there'll be another hearing by the Planning Commission on the draft element, because the last meeting was just public input, and then there'll be, of course, City Council deliberation. So
W1.7 says the city should conduct a study of consolidation of water systems owned by the city and consent of the public utility district. Period. The city should pursue long-term consolidation of larger water systems under city ownership.
Heard a lot about that at the meeting.
Well, we talked about it more.
No, I mean we treated
no,
it here.
No.
Nobody said anything.
Nobody raised it. So it's there.
Yeah.
Well, this is what we want.
Well, it's there at this point in time. Like, there's more process to review.
So the point is that the commission at the next meeting in July will discuss it amongst themselves. What they're going to say about this, I don't know. We made it long-term. Notice, underline long-term.
Right. Yeah.
This is not something immediate. It's not something, it's a long-term goal. That's what this is. And I'm mindful very much of Jim's comment. Ownership is different than operation. That's what this is. But somebody could object to that.
Of course.
And they will. They certainly will.
So I don't know, it could go through the Planning Commission without much, or somebody could make a big deal of this. Or the Planning Commission may ask lots of questions about it. I don't know.
But is anybody here suggesting that that's where we were, we spent a lot of time on it? Is anybody here suggesting that we do something other than what we...
No, this is in the sign of that language, pretty... So I don't know whether this is going to, the Planning Commission could change after as much as they want. It's our suggestion. Okay, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, upcoming committee work. We have nothing particularly on our agenda right now. As we talked briefly about last time, the upcoming issues, and it's up to the council to ask us, what do you want us to do? I was talking to Val and Roger for a minute just before he came in here and asked Roger to ask, as our liaison, to ask the council, what do they want us to do? And two issues that came up, one is the CIP that the council's taking up now for adoption.
No, I don't think it's going to be adopted. That's it. This was the first cut. The council didn't even have the backup sheets to say this. Is there anything missing or anything that... they would like to see moved around or inserted. But I think the actual CIP adoption, I believe, is scheduled is later in the year.
No, but.
Yes, it's like with the budget, so it's not.
Are we still early in that stage where it would be right for the council to say, I don't even see a project to do X and I would like one?
Right, and that's what we're, you know, typically that doesn't come up so much in utilities because utilities are more, you know, technical engineering driven versus, but you know, non-motorized facilities and maybe road projects have a little bit more input on discretion.
The was always my impression that we were going to talk about the capital improvement project after we got through. I think that's what was said last summer.
Right.
Yes. We can't discuss this now, but we will discuss it after we get through this part of it.
Part of what Mr. Dascio mentioned was that in discussing the whole CIP, there's all these pieces of it that are paid partially by this utility or that utility. I don't know if that's...
Well, they still show up on the utilities here.
Oh, do they?
So does it make sense? What do you want
to
do?
So if it's a road work one and it takes a little stormwater money, that shows up on the highway one?
Well, we typically try to put them on the stormwater one.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so just show the fraction.
Yeah, the piece of stormwater or the piece of water.
Okay.
So does it make sense for you to run through what you
gave
the council?
Yeah, we can. I can show you what they saw last week.
You might have to blow that up a little.
I can do that.
My glasses are not doing the trick.
Could you take a short comment?
How's that?
Do you guys want to?
Yeah.
Robert?
Yes. Sure.
Well, this is budget preparation. That's why they're doing the CIP. But this not only affects these projects, but it affects utility rates. And that's the rates are probably the one thing that, you know, because they'll build any rate recommendations based on what this is approved, you know. That's
done
right.
Yep.
And that's why we were freaking out over the $3 million Rockaway Point thing, because we're going to build a rate and a budget by it, but we didn't believe it.
But that is a point for future UAC work, is talk about rate, any changes to rates or proposed changes that the committee can think would be part of their, as a policy that would be UAC reviewable. So this is sewer. I blew it up, so we might be losing some of the columns here. But so you can see the columns. Typically, we don't get grant funds for sewer, but this for the standardized form, we get a lot of grant funding for transportation projects. So we have these three columns that show: is it eligible for a grant? Have we got a grant? And how much of the grant did we get? And then, as was mentioned, sometimes projects have other components to them, and so we would show if there was a streets or other type of component. And then what we've tried to show is if the project was funded in prior years but not yet completed or not yet awarded because it's still waiting for permits or something, then we've carried over that money just so we don't restate it and it doesn't get budgeted twice. Because really the primary purpose for the CIP is for council to approve budget to spend on projects.
So that 152 is money that's spent or money
that was prior year, that was 2016 budget.
That's allocated but not, but still available.
Well, yeah, we spent it through the year. I don't think we spent it all yet. And then the primary ones where we looked at those two sewer basins, the Northtown Woods New Brooklyn Basin and the Linwood Basin, and we got council to put in money, added money in 2016 to try to do those projects that we could try to relieve some of the pressure, some of the problems in those basins. So there's 700, 600 that was budgeted in prior years. Some of it's been spent, but not much yet. And then the new budget, really, we're on a biennial budget. So really, the most important years are 2017 and 18, because that's really new budget authorization for that council is going to give, and money that's authorized to be spent. Out year budgets are kind of projections, because those aren't really budgeted yet. Those aren't real money until you get into the 2 year window. So anyway, so 17 and 18, the highest priority pump station, other than these two basins that are having short term or near term capacity issues, is the Village pump station, and that was a high priority in our plan. And I should also say that all these projects were in the general sewer plan. We didn't make up projects. So what we did was we had, if you remember, the general sewer plan had short term and long term, had like 2 10-year windows. So we're really just looking at what are the first projects in that first 10-year window that we think are the highest priority to start moving forward. So the Village pump station is really the most critical, other than those ones, to get
so
going.
So just to be clear, the 7 and 8 there,
seven and eight,
New Brooklyn and Linwood Center. Yeah.
That money's already authorized in 2016.
Okay, and you still haven't. You're still going forward.
Right.
So even though they're not in columns L and M.
Right. That money's still. That's why they're shown as prior year money, because that's still live money to be spent potentially on those. We're looking at other options that certainly for Linwood Center to not spend that much money right away. I think New Brooklyn, we probably will spend close to that amount if we put in a new force main on Madison, which is the plan. That was the first recommendation. We did, I'm trying to remember now, when Parametrics did that sewer study, did we come to, did they do a presentation here at UAC or last December?
So if you do a new force main, will they be able to, is that to accommodate the barn and that whole complex up there too?
Well, it's one piece. I mean, we did a sewer study at the end of last year that looked at what needed to be done. One piece was to put a new force main, a higher capacity force main on Madison from high school up to New Brooklyn. The other piece is to bring a gravity line down New Brooklyn from Suzuki to basically the Harrison Medical Center. And so that's in discussion as part of the development of the Suzuki property. So in order to develop and provide sewer to Suzuki, somebody's going to have to put in that gravity force.
Now, Suzuki is the corner of Sportsman's Club in New Brooklyn.
The one that's the city property that's been all discussed lately about.
But what about the barn? That's right.
Well, so then those two pieces would then provide options to redirect the barn and the Cultus property, which is those artisan studio things that are across the barn up there on the
additional garage.
If we can get the gravity line in and a new force main, we can potentially redirect that sewer down to that gravity main. That way it's not pumping up to Newtown Woods and then pumping from Northtown Woods all the way back to Sportsman and around the corner.
So
now
is that budgeted for the gravity main?
That is not right now. It's not budgeted. We talked with council. If you look at it like a developer, this city happens to own the property, but if a developer came in and said, I want to build a 50-unit housing complex on this site, they would have to put in that sewer line. And then they could get a payback agreement potentially with other properties that would connect in. So it's really...
So if Olympic Development builds all those houses, they got to pay for this lot.
Right. Of course, then it comes out of the purchase price. The city pays one way or another. They have to figure it into their financials because it's an extra cost. So that affects how much they're willing to offer for the property, probably. But it's all, it's either we do it or they do it. Typically, a developer would do it. It's cheaper.
What about with the barn and the garages there? Are they paying for it?
Plus, Cultus has got those other properties.
The barn and the garages are already connected, so they wouldn't pay. But there's two other Cultus parcels with the tree farm and something else that could come in later and pay Indians late
come
in.
They come up.
All right, so that's still a number high priority.
Yeah, well that's
and then Linwood Center.
Linwood Center, we're doing work, but nothing close to that much money right now because we budgeted thinking that potentially we'd have to do a lot of work on the force main. Our work so far indicates it's in pretty good shape, and the work we've had to do to try to get it rehabbed and cleaned up is much less than that. So we're doing the rest of that this week. And then we have some money left over that we could spend on pump rehab, too. So anyway, I'm hoping we don't spend.
And was that large chunk of money set aside because of the swimming pool?
Well, the swimming pool just kind of pointed out the overall problem. But the money was set aside to try to potentially rehab the pump station and, if not replace the force main, replace sections of the force main that were suspected to be deteriorated because of corrosion. Turns out it doesn't look like it was as bad as we thought, that we might have thought, so.
Okay, so those, for listing your sewer projects, those are two.
Yeah, the village, like I said, the village hasn't got much attention, but it is a critical, this is the one that's it's behind, it's kind of on the ravine, kind of behind, I think, Wells Fargo, up in the village area. And it basically takes all the Northtown Woods, the high school, all the village, all the way to the Visconti and out that direction. So it takes most of our, a big commercial development there. And and it's cycle, it's overloaded, and it's older, it needs to be, it's a critical pump station, so that's been a bigger concern of ours.
Where is it physically? I think we visited.
It's kind of on the, no, I don't think he did.
Oh, it's kind of
behind most part. You got to like drive down in the side of the ravine behind all that commercial up there. You wouldn't see, you would never see it.
How do trucks get down there? I've seen them down there, and it's just a miracle.
It's just, I mean, all it is a couple manholes that cover the tanks and the wet well, and then there's an electrical box that's, you can't see anything in the box. Mm-hmm. So it's...
So you're going to improve that too, that?
That's the biggest one. So that's the first project, number six. And then there's other pump stations that were identified in the plan that are problems, Wing Point, Sunday Cove, old treatment plant in Lower Holly. So those are the kind of the highest priorities. The next one after Village is Wing Point, really. So that if you're familiar with that, that's out on the end of Wing Point, kind of behind the big log jam out there, and it's really below tide a lot of times. Or certainly at really high tide, it's inundated, and so you're trying to pump water out of a pump station that's underwater all the time, which just makes it hard. So anyway, and then there's others. So those are the one. And then the other thing that's still kind of hanging out there is the lower level. So
the beach.
That's the beach main, and it's the one that runs, behind the pub and by along all the marinas there, and that little under the boardwalk, and it's really hard to get to and can't be maintained, and it's in bad shape. We've done a lot of work keeping it clean, but there's a lot of grease from the restaurants down there, and it's really not a sustainable thing long term. So we're looking at bringing it up, and so replumbing things, putting in some individual pump stations, and trying to make it an upland basin. So that's what that would be. But there's not a real immediate solution for that.
But you've got that 950 for
to try to put in
2017.
No, 18. So 2017, we'd be looking at design options and design.
Okay.
And then
so you're going to do that one before you're going to do Wing Point.
Yeah, because we've had that lower level one. It was part of the beach main project that we did two years ago, I suppose.
And lower level failure would be a
disaster.
Big impact.
Yeah. We've had an
arena there that flushes like in a 90-year cycle.
is it gravity or force? No, it's gravity.
It's gravity.
Yeah, see, I think that's the difference. Yeah. It's not a force main.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is gravity, and it goes down. There is a lower-level pump station, so it's a gravity line that goes down to the pump station and the pumps it.
Hey, Barry, what would you be physically, you'd be moving it?
Yeah, we'd be... So
where would it go?
Well, upland, so we'd be... There are some, there's gravity lines, toward park it or whatever, there's gravity lines.
So we'd, right?
We'd be pushing up.
You'd go up,
yeah.
So you wouldn't go up just 20 feet or 10 feet.
No,
you'd
it's got to get, and we
200
might,
feet.
So you're talking about grinder pumps in a small diameter.
Small. And then extending the gravity line, and potentially even though there's a hump, I think it's in park it or maybe it's lower, that we could actually still get a gravity line maybe by drilling. Even though it's so it go under the hill and then we get some more gravity or get some people that could pump to a gravity line. It's an idea to try to expand the system upland, and if you have to pump to a gravity line, we could do that, put in some smaller pumps and get the line off the beach that really can't be maintained.
I have a very general question about payment, because we just discussed that New Brooklyn one and the new development that might go on the corner of Newport, and you said the developer might contribute to this in some way. But once you're already in, like this lower...
Yeah, once you're connected, then it's the city.
Then the city's.
Then we kind of own that problem, and then
yeah.
we don't...
Okay.
We have to fix it. But if you're a new development and you need a sewer to build, then you've got to bring that sewer or do something. And typically, that's what happens.
They start the process, but then you maintain it.
Yeah. It gets turned over as a city asset.
Like streets.
Yeah. Like what?
Like streets.
Yeah.
So okay. We're going to get a copy of that at some point.
I can email them out. So then, let's see what's.
So before you go on, just a quick, kind of this is a quick answer. But can the rate do we have the money to afford all those projects?
Yeah, and water and sewer, you know, we're still working under the policy assumption that from here is that we need to spend our reserves down first for a number of years. Sewer is going to be, doesn't have as much balance.
Oh, no,
but
those, yeah, sewer yeah, doesn't have that much.
Yeah.
Can the sewer afford those projects?
Well,
I mean, those are important projects,
yeah.
All four of them.
Yeah, I don't know whether they were all within the next, originally within the next 5 years, and so they were basically fit.
I mean, the goal, as I recall, on sewer was to try to hold off as long as we could because some bonds are going to eventually start paying off and give us relief.
Oh, we had, I recall, nearly $4 million or more in sewer.
Three something.
Yeah.
Well, cash and sewer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, when we get to budget, sort of Nancy's yeah. pointing a little bit about budget, we can see whether we can afford all those. It'd be great. Those are important projects.
That
okay. Happen.
And then, so then water, let's see.
Sewer's not typically eligible for grants from anybody?
No, most all sewer grant programs are first and foremost based on economics, so it's depressed communities, rural communities. No, we never qualified for any of that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But you can get low interest loans, and we've gotten Public Works Trust Fund loans, and we still have about $800,000 on the original loan that we can apply one of these projects to, because we haven't, as long as they accept it, we applied for almost $4 million in trust fund loan to do the beach main. That came in at a little over two. And then we thought we were gonna spend maybe $600,000 or $700,000 on the Wing Point Way. And we found a trenchless technology that just slip line or did a cast in place lining of the pipe, and that was only about $150,000. So we're still, I mean, it's a good thing. We're not spending the money, but now we still got loan capacity that maybe we can apply to something else.
And that's at an interest rate you can't beat. Right?
Yeah, 0.5%.
But they're drying up Public Works Trust Fund. Well,
right, I know. Yeah.
So we shouldn't give them money back.
No,
probably not.
Spend it.
Yeah.
It's going away.
And they've been pretty, you know, flexible about, well, it's a force main. It's not a beach force main, but it's still.
But it's a beach main.
A
I would think
project.
DNR would help you with that because DNR wants it off the beach.
Depends on how broadly you find your beach.
It's just long enough. DNR wants it all back to the prehistoric.
Okay, so water. So water, we have a lot of money, obviously. So we're not going to make, you
never
know.
Heard that.
So, prior, so we've got, you know, the bottom line is, you know, 1 million, 2, 3, 4, it's only, you know, we'd spend the whole we got 6 million or something in reserve, so we're not going to nearly be talking about any kind of rate increase. But be that as it may, so, first project, so this is an example, Olympic Drive, there's $100,000 that was budgeted in prior years, that was in 16. So that was if we ever do the Olympic Drive project with a non-motorized access to the ferry, there is a water line that goes through there that needs to be replaced. And so we've added this water project since we don't want to be digging up that road very often. And this was that opportunity to do it. So that's why that project's in there. Then the rest of these are all from, once again, from the sewer, the water plan in the short and the long term.
So
I'm losing titles here. Okay. So you'll recognize, you know, the tank integrity analysis, tank storage improvements, emergency generator head of the bay, water treatment analysis and improvements in Winslow. And then the key one that the committee really looked at was this Rockaway project. And that was the $3 million project, or the $1 million plus the $3 million. So we've been talking with PUD, and we think we can do it with an intertie for maybe less than that. We've thrown in $250,000 and come up with an interlocal agreement to do that. They seem to be very amenable to it. So it would be they have a higher pressure zone than we do, but we're only a couple hundred feet away or so. So we'd extend our line, put in a P PRV station, pressure reducing valve, so that it steps down their pressure. It would be an automatic thing, so if our pump failed or if our tank failed or if we had a high, you know, fire flow issue, it would automatically open and be able to provide service from their system. And then the agreement would, it would be metered, so the agreement would say how much of a wholesale rate we're going to pay for whatever gallons we use, but we wouldn't use them except if we need them, and hopefully we won't need them, but you never know.
It also eliminates the need for any infrastructure to get the reserve 20 pounds requirement that
but the tank.
Yeah, that yeah. Rockaway has no reserve.
Yeah, because the tank is just not going to be there. So right. Yeah, so if we get access to their tanks yeah. as a backup, and it's only for fire flow, of right. course. So if there was a fire event, their tank would be high enough to give the pressure that we needed to maintain that.
So now it's not 3 million, it's 250,000 for the intertie.
But this is an emergency intertie. You would continue to use the Taylor Avenue well for most of your
right.
So,
and we're still investigating the Wycoff
well.
Yeah. That's on there because they are still interested in another source because they don't have the best sources, you know, for them. So if we got a good, if we had a good source at Wycoff, it could also be
they being
KPUD for their island former island utility system.
Right.
So if we could backfeed through our system to them with a better source and have it a two-way PRV. That could actually be beneficial also.
You could run that through Bill Point back to me.
Yeah.
I hear you going, hey, don't forget us.
So anyway, that's the...
So is their project down Taylor dead at the moment?
I hadn't heard, but Bob Hunter said it was $400,000 or something. Yeah. That McNabb would never be able to pay for that or something. That's what he surmised, but I don't know. And then we still have this project, I know that we're skeptical of, so we put the bigger number in the out year of 19, which is, what are we gonna do about the pressure zone at around the high school in Commodore neighborhood and New Brooklyn? And do we really wanna do this $1 million project for that or not?
Because people might not tie into it.
There's people that are tied in now that theoretically are not meeting standards.
Right.
Like the upper road of Common or whatever that highest road is, I forget.
So do you need the fire chief to approve not doing it?
Is it fire flow?
That's all you're saying, we just change our policy so that
Well, is it fire flow or is it reserve?
It's pressure.
It's low pressure.
Yeah, it's pressure.
But Barry, are you talking about an alternate way?
Yeah, the sewer plan, you know, looked at creating a new higher pressure zone and doing those piping changes and to make that happen.
But at a lower cost than we're seeing here.
No, that's the cost
what it
they
is.
Put in.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything better to put in right now. I didn't, you know, we need to do a study and see if there's other options that are cheaper, and that's what the $50,000 would do. Let's look at this in more depth. The sewer plan, you know, consultant was not scoped to detail analysis. They just were broad brush, big picture, you know, kind of planning level estimates. We need to get into really a detailed project analysis and sharpen the pencil a lot more before we spend that much money. That's the idea.
Might possibly a reservoir at the high point of New Brooklyn be a possible?
Well, I mean, there's even options of tying into Metamir if they were interested. They have a higher point than we do going up from New Brooklyn up to Metamir. And if there's any options that would be beneficial, mutually beneficial for that or not.
Oh, because there's that trail. That must be a right of way.
Yeah, Mandis
Olson.
Mandis Olson.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's the Mandis Olson is a right of way.
That's
where the water tank is up there.
Yeah, I know. So it's kind of a direct shot right down the New Brooklyn, obviously. Mm-hmm.
That's not right now, but you're thinking about it.
I've heard that's something worth looking at.
I'm guessing that Meadowmere is not. Yay!
I don't know what.
Just based on what they said to me about, we don't want to get involved in the city.
just put a policy in the
comp plan. We'll talk.
They have no choice. It's a comp plan policy. We've seen how watertight them. Anyway.
See how they get fire protection.
Oh my gosh.
And then some other meter replacements. There's computer system replacements. Fire flow. The only two fire flow things were on Winslow and Shepherd, so those are in there. Those are piping projects. And
they're not budgeted for the next 2 years?
No, they're farther out, yeah. So really the next 2 years, really not that much. Bottom line, $650 and 1.2. And a lot of that 1.2 is this, well, let me see, what is it?
The lower level, the 950?
It's the treatment and the tank improvement. So doing the improvements to seismic and as well as flow improvements to the main reservoir at high school, and then the water treatment for the manganese. So, any questions on those?
Well, just between this one and sewer, we spend a lot of money on SCADA upgrades.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious as to what it is we're not getting that these upgrades would provide. I mean, unless the software just doesn't get supported after a certain point.
Part of it is this equipment and the components are just, there's more modern and the other stuff is not supported. I have a pretty detailed SCADA analysis and transition plan, so it's that shows what the age of things are, when they need to be replaced, and how it's phased out over time. If the committee wants to look at that, I can provide that.
This is the technology that.
This is the control system, so mm-hmm. It's you
it's
know.
It's not the stuff we saw at the plant.
It's supervised mm-hmm. control and data acquisition. So basically, that's what SCADA stands for. But basically, it's. Your alarm system that calls out, that measures things in all your tanks and all your wells and all your pump stations. And
so we have to keep upgrading those.
Yeah, it's the automatic controls and communications that keeps things running, lets you know when there's problems, calls you out at night if there is a problem.
Are you even driven by security requirements on the software?
Yeah, there is, but it's not on the network, so it's not on the city network, but there is still security, so somebody could, you always hear those horror stories about getting in the electrical grid and screwing it up,
right,
somebody could get into your
killing us on the
SCADA
side, it's everything. Right. All our software, to change a single piece of software, you got to go to like 2 years of shakedown and committee reviews to make sure it has no vulnerability.
Oh, really?
Just slowing everything down, and jacking the price up tenfold.
So it is. We do have a long plan for it. It's almost like a sewer plan or water plan. We have like a SCADA plan that shows all the systems that need to be replaced, what we have, and what needs to be done, and what's already been done.
Are there one compatible vendor, or is that an issue?
That's part of it. Yeah. Once you get one system, it's kind of proprietary, and that is not really interchangeable with anybody else's.
You can do that on purpose.
Yeah, I know they do. I'm sure they do.
It's called designed obsolescence.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they replace it after a certain number of time. They replace the technology, and then you go.
You have to do it. You're
too. Yeah,
it's no longer supported like Windows.
So do you have stormwater as well?
Yeah, if you're ready to move on.
Yeah, one of the questions is, we're just getting a briefing. The question is this all we're going to get, or do we want more, or what? But let's just take another few minutes.
And this is all the detail I showed council so far. So I haven't. Typically, there will be, as part of the budget, an individual project page, which look like these, that has these weren't provided yet because we haven't updated them all, but there will be for every project a page that shows where it is, picture or two if you have one, a description, and more of a budget breakdown on
who's paying for what.
$125,000 for a bench.
Pick the wrong one to bring up. see
what we're supposed to
do. Okay, so
it's a bench scale study.
For sure, of course, you guys are running the city.
This is a study.
Waterfront Park project.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
What?
Waterfront Park.
They're running the Waterfront Park project.
It's awarded. Those trees are coming down. If you've been down there, a lot of trees. It's a lot more open. You can see the water.
It's nice to see it cleared up too. You can see the water now.
I was waiting.
You haven't got anybody sitting up in those trees?
Nobody's up there.
They don't know about
all the homeless people.
I keep waiting for something.
I know now.
We were down there looking a few minutes ago.
Oh, was
she was pretty upset.
Trying to figure out how to put up the tree stand.
Myself and my tree stand.
Well.
Okay.
So, stormwater. So, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot.
Because, you know, we have that. We did the presentation on the culvert, so we're still kind of digesting that. Trying to
that's so hard. What, yes.
There's some big money in that.
Yeah.
There was. Yeah. So the only one that we put in here right now, well, is, and we put it in, where is it?
Springburg Restoration 22.
I think I'm looking at the wrong one. This is the one we used last week.
What is the city council's point of view on this culvert thing? Is there anything that can be done?
I think the city, I mean, my sense is that that was new information. In the good of the order, I gave a little heads up after we'd had our conversation saying some big line items, just when you see this, take a note of it. And then Barry presented it. And not the level of detail that we had, not the video, not the visuals or anything like that, other than Barry saying this was a significant line item and appears to be a real problem. Is that a fair assessment, Barry, of that council?
Yeah. So, I mean, the big money is out here in 2019, conveniently just outside the project year, the budget year, because we're still not ready, I don't think, to talk about it. So. The one project we have carrying over is this money for this Rockaway Beach outfall, so we're still planning to get that awarded this year, and since we get our shoreline permit, everything seems to be aligned up for that. Then we have a project, this Ravine Creek outfall replacement, which is down Ravine Creek right at the head of the creek outlet into the bay, and that was really brought to attention when we were planning for the storm for the Sound Olympics Trail, but it's an existing pipe that doesn't extend to the water, all the way to the water like it should, so it needs extension and energy dissipator on it. This big creek at Culvert, this culvert at McDonald Creek is the big one that we saw last week with the collapsed on Eagle Harbor Drive, like a $5 million project, if you had to replace it with a fish culvert, which we talked about. So we've had a meeting with Fish and Wildlife about that to get their assessment on, does it need to be a fish culvert or not? Is there any habitat that's worth preserving upstream of it? And they're not committal, but they're considering the input that we provided. So, because that's kind of the first step is what do they think it is, because they have to permit it.
What information do we provide? Do we make a case?
Well, not really. I mean, this is the culvert. They can see it. They know how to measure a stream. They know how to look at the fish. We're not going to go in there and say those fish aren't. You know, we're going to tell Fish and Wildlife these fish are not valuable. These fish, we don't even know what they are. We're not fish experts. They are.
Right, but my understanding is sometimes they're just using old maps, old information.
These are on-site visits. These are going out. This is the culvert. Let's walk upstream of the culvert. Let's look at the inlet and outlet of the culvert. Look downstream of the culvert. Measure slopes if we need to. Measure bank widths. So these are on-site visits.
Right, but in terms of actually the habitat and whether there's actual fish in there and so forth, they don't. Do they have any hard evidence of what's in that stream? Do they do?
They might. I mean, they with their observations, but they're not doing anything.
Well, what we heard last time when they did the presentation is that the existence of fish is not.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's not
the drive their decision.
It's the habitat. If the habitat would support fish, their rules are it's a fish stream.
It's literally a bottom up thing. They got to start from the sound and see where the fish stop.
Well, yeah, I mean, downstream of the culvert, if it's a 20 degree slope, is that impossible for fish to get up? Upstream of the culvert, how far back does the,
what is the habitat on either side of it? What's the slope of the culvert?
So the question in my mind becomes, what is the basis of their interpretation? When you have a lawsuit over the fact that the highways are cutting off the salmon from getting upstream to theoretical fish populations going up theoretical streams costing us $5 million, there's no nexus between that I can see between what the original argument was and where we find ourselves today. It's like Fish and Wildlife's gone off the deep end on it, and somehow, I don't know how, you know, I'm not saying Public Works is obliged to pull them back in, but I don't know how cities can just sit there and go, okay. And
I know, so the option is just don't do anything. Don't replace culverts if you don't have to. That's the first option.
Well, that's not really an option, because then you'll get the sinkhole.
Well, yeah, I mean, until you can't, until your road fails, then don't do anything. Right. But if you're aware that your road might fail and you really need to do something, then you're dealing with the process.
Well, wait a minute. But I assume right now, we're just talking about, we're talking about the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You're just putting money in for a study.
And design.
Yeah, but there's other ones. The little ones up there, what they call Blakely Falls. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's got a waterfall right after the culvert. I mean, there's never going to be a fish going up that stream. All these just go on and on and on, and it's like, you know, how much Kool-Aid do we drink before we finally say that's enough? And I don't understand, but Sean's got the same problem, Mercer Island's got the same problem, San Juan's about got the same, we're all these little islands that can't afford to go around and build $5 million bridges over every little culvert, and it seems to me these communities have got to start getting together and you know, if need be, we got to hire an attorney to take on Fish and Wildlife, or at least get it in the press. What bothers me is Mayor Blair endorsed the one that was on Sunrise. I mean, said this was a really good thing. I mean, she either got sold a bill of goods or something. But I don't think people understand the perspective of what we're being faced with and the reality of.
And I hear you. I'm just looking at five projects and this budget and look at those particular projects and find out whether they're ones you're going to deal with.
So the
items, what, 6, 7, 8, 9?
The
little ones. Eagle Harbor Phase 1 is another one. I mean, Springbrook Creek's another one. When they go.
Well, I think our committee ought to bring this attention.
I
think this our committee should bring it to the attention of the city council, at least this is a controversy.
Well, I think it's more than bring it to attention. I think we ought to spend some energy looking at this issue and do some of the background research.
My recollection of what was said in the open session was that the mayor didn't make a comment about, you know, let's determine what your actual fish streams and what your, legal fish stream. He made some distinction between...
Yeah.
Val
did make a comment that he wasn't just.
But it still doesn't do anything.
Right.
You still have to get permission.
Yeah.
It's step one.
So you can decide, oh, that's a bad stream, that has no fishing, we're not doing anything. Well, no, you can't. You can't decide that. You don't have the power to do that. You either do the project illegally or you fight the system.
Right. Well, and the system may be going all the way to embarrassing the tribe.
Yeah.
Because it's the tribe on the other side that's driving these. And you know, and everybody's got this hand, you know, white gloves when it comes to the tribe. And maybe we gotta try to embarrass the tribe, if that's what it takes.
Yes. Well, maybe this is
great. I think I kind of get the logic from the just because you don't find fish there, doesn't mean that might not be good habitat for fish.
Right.
And that if you do the right things, fish will restore themselves there.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've found places like that stream on Bay Ridge where we found fish in them. Right.
So I have a suggestion. We're getting a summary briefing here, not a detailed one. We can
look at fish fight later.
We can do the fish fight later, yes. Fish fight.
But it is a big thing.
This is all so we have a general understanding so we can decide what we want to do. Okay? So maybe the answer is we want to spend time on these projects and find out whether these are the projects that we think ought to be in the budget for the next year or not. And because right now, I don't know enough about them specifically.
One of the choices, I don't know if we know
know how to make them. We have them on there because we think the culvert needs repair, and there's a more expensive option for doing it to meet all the maybe theoretical fish requirements, and then there's a cheaper price to just restore the culvert.
Right.
But have both prices yet?
But can you do that? I mean, isn't that the very issue that you can't do the cheaper?
Well, that's what the consultant looked at. These are the ones you can repair that aren't fish culverts, so we have some projects in there to try to do that, just to subline or do something to repair. Mm-hmm. But under his analysis based on fish and wildlife procedures, he estimated the projects that were fish culverts that he thought would be considered fish culverts.
So if everybody wants to get into this, why don't we at our next meeting, whatever that is, just take up the proposals for the next budget, and mm-hmm. we can all look at them and see what we think.
Makes
a lot of sense. I can email them out ahead of time.
Yeah, you can look at it ahead of time. You can drive by them if you want. And
you can't find them.
Well, they're really up across a lot of them. You gotta hack
your way. Deep by definition.
There's a ravine on either
side.
Does that include the individual project sheets too?
If they got them.
I will see if I've got them by then.
Most of them are in the Corallo study already, right?
So yeah, there is a lot of information in that study. Not the Corallo study, but the Reed and Middleton.
Oh, right, Reed and Middleton. Right. Right. I think that's that one.
All right, well, I promise everybody we get out early. We haven't done that. We can still do that. What other topics do we want to take up? Maybe this is the only one, the immediate one, isn't it? Do we want
for now,
for the next meeting?
And when do actual budgets come?
Well, July, they start putting together the costs, the expense projections and revenue projections, and start considering new budget proposals, those kind of things.
Typically, the staff my experience, the staff work was done in sort of August, on projects.
July, August.
And then it's got to get to the council typically in October. In October.
I think it'll be 29 September.
Is that what, 29 September? So that's when it gets to council. So the staff work is August, right?
Yeah.
I'd also suggest that with dry, hot summer coming, would be a good time for field trips. We don't have any new documents to review.
Sure. To climb up there.
Culvert inspections.
Well, there's a really good example. I mean, to look at.
Well, so why don't we just plan next meeting? Let's just plan next meeting to look at the projects on the CIP for the stormwater. We want to look at the water and sewer. Or are we done with those? I think we know enough about the water and sewer since we just went through those plans. Should we just look at the stormwater one the next time?
Yeah.
Those are
the ones that are most controversial.
I think so. Okay.
All right. Next meeting is 27th.
Right, so is there anything else you want to do before we finish? So what we would do is, it's a regular meeting, we're just on a regular meeting track.
What day is that?
2 weeks from today.
6:27.
5:30 on the 27th, we will take up storm swim projects.
Is it 4:30 or?